We're back on In Focus on News Radio KMAN, talking with the Riley County Historical Museum. We have Alana Parker and Ron Wilson from the Huck Boyd Institute joining us here this morning. Before we go any further, we do have a caller who had a comment, and we'll go back to the phone lines. Robert is on the line. Good morning.
I'm so glad that you were talking about the rewarding politicians that we have had in Kansas. You know, Eisenhower in World War II saw that expressway in Germany for moving troops around. And when he got back here, he, of course, they had the depression after World War II, but then they, before the Korean War started to spur the economy, they put in this, started right here, this interstate highway system. And it's more than what had been good with the farm-to-market roads to replace the muddy gravel roads to have a uniform highway system. But to serve Riley County right here, they started out with that interstate highway system, and that was really, that has really been a benefit to the nation. My uncle used to talk down in Chautauqua County when they were looking for somebody to elect to Topeka. They would find somebody that they had to look out after anyway because they weren't looking after themselves, and get them elected and then send them off to Topeka to get rid of them. And he said 20 years later, they'd come back with a brand new Cadillac and money in their pocket and dressed in a suit of clothes. And he says, what is the matter with this picture? Well, I'm so proud of William Allen White because as his editor, you know, he wrote that article in the paper about what's the matter with Kansas, because they always vote the same way that their dad and their grandfather voted instead of looking at the candidates themselves. Thank you so much for widening our horizons.
All right. Thanks for the call, Robert. You know, he brings up a good point. That's one of my favorite pieces of Kansas history is the development of the interstate system. That's something that Eisenhower was instrumental with. And, you know, that started right here in Kansas, believe it or not.
Absolutely. As you drive to Topeka, you'll come to that sign that says the next 8 miles or whatever were the first, the very first portion of the interstate highway system to be implemented. And you know, the role that that played in unifying our nation, too, is interesting. I mean, and the way it broadened our horizons, we could travel in more efficient ways than we ever did before. So it's an interesting period of history, too.
Absolutely. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Kansas Day, which is coming up this Saturday, January the 29th. Kansas is turning 161 years old. Doesn't look a day over 160, if you ask me. But we've got some great Kansas poetry we're going to share here this morning. And Ron, let me just kind of set this up a little bit. You're known as a cowboy poet. Tell us a little bit more how you got involved doing this, and when did it start?
Well, I grew up on the Lazy T Ranch here outside of town, and so always appreciated the cowboy life. And I enjoy writing, and but decades ago, well, probably in the 90s, I went to a meeting in Colorado. I spoke out there, and the entertainment that night was a cowboy poet, and I had never heard of such a goofy thing. And this guy was so entertaining. So I gave it a try, and I've enjoyed writing cowboy poetry ever since.
All right. Well, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a couple poems with us here this morning, we'd love to hear some.
Well, this is in honor of Kansas Day. And a few years ago, I became the first cowboy poet to date to present a cowboy poem at a governor's inauguration. And I modified it for Kansas Day. So this is in honor of Kansas Day. In Kansas, early pioneers came west to build a state. Now we reflect on all those years to pause and celebrate. Our native tribes were first, we saw, to bring us early fame. The Kansa Indians, known as Kaw, gave us our very name. Then cowboys drove wild cattle north to meet the Kansas rails, and brave frontiersmen ventured forth to blaze the westward trails. Brave men and women joined the quest in search of visions grand. Their destiny, made manifest, was found in Kansas land. Then forts and farms and towns were built, with home and school and church. As bleeding Kansas, blood was spilt in freedom's vital search. Amelia Earhart was born to fly. Our state spawned aviation, became an energy supply and breadbasket of the nation. Dwight Eisenhower and Bob Dole took up the call to serve. Our soldiers still fulfill that role, our values to preserve. The spirit of the pioneer still lives on in our days, in caring for our neighbors here and research for new ways. So in this time of Kansas Day, we thank those pioneers and ask for strength to guide our way to our time's new frontiers.
Well, that is just lovely. Fantastic.
Thanks. It's fun to celebrate Kansas Day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that one with us. And I know you got another one we'll do here in just a moment. We have a caller, I believe, standing by. So we got another question. Paul, go ahead. Just turn your radio down if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, I'll do that. It's down. But going back to the interstate system that becomes a military highway, I had a little experience in that some 40 years ago. That highway is shut down. There's people assigned to shut the ramps off. The military can use it both directions, however they want to use it, because we have a lot of bases right here in the central part, and they can get where they need to go. That was a very ingenious idea of his, plus it moves traffic normally. And going back to when the Eisenhower funeral was, there was more dignitaries here from around the world than has ever been. They landed in Salina, were escorted to Abilene. I happened to be assigned to an oil tank south of the center, and we were instructed by the Secret Service what to do if there was any problems. So that goes back a ways. That was back in, I believe, 79, March of 79. So just a little bit more history there that come from a local flavor.
All right. Thank you for that. Appreciate the call there. So.
Brandon, I think that may have been March of 69, actually. I remember my folks took us kids from Manhattan over to Abilene, and we stood along the streets of the main street of Abilene and watched, I want to say, President Nixon in the presidential limousine come down and attend Eisenhower's funeral. And the place of meditation, the chapel there in Abilene, is a really special place as well.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he died on March 28th, 1969. That was correct. So, yeah, a lot of good history there with Eisenhower and Dole. And appreciate the sharing the memory. You know, and it brings up a good point. You know, a lot of folks, when we have dignitaries like that, it's a chance really to show off Kansas. And I think we sometimes take for granted the beauty that we have here, especially in the Flint Hills. I always brag to my friends who don't live here just how great it is, the beauty of it.
Yeah, whenever I have family there kind of across the U.S., and they came to visit for the first time, I think when my husband and I got married, and so they drove through the Flint Hills, and of course they, you know, some were from Texas, and what they were expecting was not what they saw. And that's what they said, their minds were completely changed about Kansas driving through this area, and how they remarked on how beautiful it is and how everybody was so kind. And they said, there's something special about Kansas. And I said, yes, that's why we live here. We enjoy living here. So I always think that that's kind of neat whenever I have friends or who have never been to Kansas come through, and they just remark on how fantastic it is.
And you probably have some letters. I know you have a lot of letters there at the museum where they talk probably some about when those early settlers, you know, seeing, you know, the landscape of the first time, it probably struck them as well as it does us.
Absolutely. One of my favorites, though, so I'll say Julia Lovejoy. So she came here with Isaac Goodnow's group, and they stopped in Kansas City. They were in Westport. And in her writing, so she also kept a detailed journal of her experience coming out here to Kansas. Now, this is kind of contrary to what we're talking about, but she describes Kansas City as a cold and desolate place, which I thought was kind of funny. You think of Kansas City today. So here she's describing Kansas City, and they're continuing to move out west. So one diary entry from Isaac Goodenough. So this is in contrast to what Julia describes of Kansas City. He talks about the beautiful moonlit scenery when they arrive in Manhattan. And it was Bluemont Hill. You know, a lot of people call it Manhattan Hill. It's actually Bluemont Hill with the white Manhattan letters there. He was struck by the beauty of that spot. And that's why they decided, of course, the confluence of the two rivers, the Blue and Kansas River. And that's why they decided to stay in the area and found the town that would become Manhattan. So yes, beautiful area here. And even then, just the open prairie. Of course, we have a lot more trees today than there were that you had in 1855 when the Goodenoughs came here. But still, you read Isaac's diary and he remarks on the beauty of the landscape.
Fantastic. Let's take a break here. We'll continue on with our Kansas Day celebration, Riley County Historical Museum. Some more good information to pass along when we return on News Radio KMAN.